The views expressed on the following broadcasts do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
One day at a time with its failures and fears. Portion of pain and burden of care, we must meet.
Welcome to Walking Through the Language of the Heart, a journey into the grapevine writings of Alcoholics Anonymous co-founder Bill W. And now, here are your co-hosts, Chris S. and the Monty Man.
Well, welcome aboard, one and all, to another fine episode of Walking Through the Language of the Heart with our good friend Chris S. and myself. This is a show where we are unpacking the writings, the grapevine writings, articles from Bill Wilson from 1944 to 1970. And we've been going through this thing line by line. And Chris is on the phone with me right now. I'm excited, Chris, because these are my two favorite all-time traditions that we're going to be talking about tonight. And the reason they're my favorite, because I have been deemed by several as the Andy Rooney of recovery radio. Because a lot of my shows, I can get very sarcastic and very overly opinionated. And I'll tell you why these two traditions excite me. Because of the controversy that surrounds them so often. And because of the misunderstanding out of context that they are delivered at meeting level much of the time. And that kind of thing excites a talk show host.
that's really great. Listen, it's great to be here. I'm glad these are two of your favorite traditions. We're gonna dig into them, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about what our informed perspective is.
That's
on
right.
These particular traditions.
That's right. Yeah. So whenever I think of these, I think of those two statements, right? Public relations and anonymity. So with that being said, launch us forth, my friend.
Sure. You know, it was one of the listeners' suggestions for us to actually read the tradition as it's been approved and it's in current literature to give context, you know, before we dig back in to the 1948 writing about that tradition. And, I'll start by doing that. We're going to be doing traditions 11 and 12 tonight. And so the long form of tradition 11 is this. Our relations with the general public should be characterized by personal anonymity. We think AA ought to avoid sensational advertising. Our names and pictures as AA members ought not be broadcast, filmed, or publicly printed. Our public relations should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. There is never a need to praise ourselves. We feel it better to let our friends recommend us. So that's the long form as you'll find it in current literature. Let's dig into Bill's writing in the Grapevine. This is from the October 1948 Grapevine with the title Tradition 11. Let's see what he has to say. Providence has been looking after the public relations of Alcoholics Anonymous. It can scarcely have been otherwise. Though we are more than a dozen years old, hardly a syllable of criticism or ridicule has ever been spoken of AA. Somehow, we have been spared all the pains of medical or religious controversy, and we have good friends both wet and dry, left and right. Like most societies, we are sometimes scandalous, but never yet in public. from all over the world, naught comes but keen sympathy and downright admiration. Our friends at the press and radio have outdone themselves. Anyone can see that we are in a fair way to be spoiled. Our reputation is already so much better than our actual character. I love that. Our reputation is better than our character.
Like that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Bill Wilson, I believe he had a humility. He had a core humility coupled with, you know, an ego that had to be the number one guy. But I think he understood just how important this principle of humility and anonymity would be. And in 1948, at that time, there was a lot of really good press and there wasn't a lot of bad press. You know, over the course of the years, you know, we can't really say that anymore, you know, especially with the advent of the internet, where, you know, anybody can publish a writing on anything.
Yeah.
And get it out there. You know, there is criticism that comes at Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, maybe some even, you know, valid criticism. But in 1948, the principles that they had put together were working really well. And when there was public relations and people writing about Alcoholics Anonymous, it was in a good way. So he says here, surely the phenomenal blessings must have a deep purpose. Who doubts that this purpose wishes to let every alcoholic in the world know that AA is truly for him? Can he only want his liberation enough? Hence, our messages through public channels have never been seriously discolored, nor has the searing breath of prejudice ever issued from anywhere. It was a good time. Good public relations are AA lifelines reaching out to the alcoholic who still does not know us. For years to come, our growth is sure to depend on the strength and the number of these lifelines. One serious public relations calamity could always turn thousands away from us to perish. A matter of life and death, indeed. And, you know, that may sound overly dramatic. You know, pushing people away from Alcoholics Anonymous could mean their death. Mm. But that's his experience. He was watching people who were plugged in and doing their job in Alcoholics Anonymous get better and better and better. And he was watching people who couldn't get this thing. They either could not or would not give themselves to this simple program. He was watching them die. You know, this was literal for him. Anything that would push someone away from Alcoholics Anonymous was a killing thing. You know, I want to talk about something, Monty, here that I think you want to talk about as well. And to do that, I'm going to go back to the long form. And it says here that anonymity, our public relations should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. This is one of the areas I know we could talk about a misrepresentation. Because I remember being in meetings many, many times, and the suggestion that, you know, we should be putting a meeting together to take it into a treatment center, or, you know, we should get a GSR and you might want to be our GSR, or, you know, there's literature that could be taken to the jails, and people have basically used the language, it's attraction, not promotion, to be lazy and not do their job. Is this an experience that you've had, Monty?
Yes. Yes. it has been almost purposely taught even that the public relations policy includes your personal story, and nothing could be further from the truth. It doesn't say that. And I guess I don't think it's limited to alcoholics. I think people, if they've got an ego at all, in general, like to put words in that don't exist to fit their own agenda. And I think this is one of the reasons, is because we want to find a way, an easier, softer way, even in within the framework of the fellowship, not just our personal recovery. And so you've said it before, I've said it a million times. It's our public relations policy. It's based on attraction rather than promotion, not our personal stories. And as many times as I've said that, 100 times it comes back that that's actually just the opposite. But it's not. And I think, you know, with the film several years ago, Anonymous People, boy, did that raise some eyebrows. People got upset here in Oregon. Some people were pretty hot about that. These people are breaking their anonymity. They weren't breaking their anonymity. They were just sharing their personal stories. And I've heard it. And it still goes on today. And I will continue to correct it when I hear it.
One of the saddest things I continue to see is people believing that attraction rather than promotion is an excuse not to do 12-step work. And if you read the chapter Working with Others, It lays out a course of action for you to go out there and find people to talk about the 12-step recovery program with, to look for still suffering alcoholics and try to sell them on the idea of recovery. That's our job. And so you know, using the language in this tradition, misusing the language in this tradition, you know, it's attraction rather than promotion. I'm just going to sit on my chair here in the meeting and they can come to me. You know, that's an abdication of the responsibility that's set out for us in the chapter Working with Others. I believe that.
There are actually people that I know in our area right now that do not want to set up an information booth in a local recovery gathering of several other recovery organizations in the park. There's a couple of them a year. There's Hands Across the Bridge, and then there's a thing called Recovery in the Park. And it's interesting. I think I've mentioned this early on when we started doing this broadcast, but finally, Narcotics Anonymous finally started showing up. Celebrate Recovery was showing up from the very beginning. But AA still won't come because they say it's attraction rather than promotion. And if we set up our booth there, we're promoting AA. And I think they just don't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're using this tradition as an excuse to be lazy. And, you know, That's just the way it is.
That's sad.
It says here, the future poses no greater problem or challenge to AA than how best to preserve a friendly and vital relation to all the world about us. Success will rest heavily upon right principles, a wise vigilance, and the deepest personal responsibility on the part of every one of us. Nothing less will do. Else our brother may again turn his face to the wall because we did not care enough. Mm. So the 11th tradition stands sentinel over the lifelines, announcing that there is no need for self-praise, that it is better to let our friends recommend us, that our whole public relations policy, contrary to usual customs, should be based on the principle of attraction rather than promotion. Shot in the arm methods are not for us. No press agents, no promotional devices, no big names. The hazards are too great. Immediate results will always be elusive because easy shortcuts to notoriety can generate permanent and smothering liabilities. More and more, therefore, we are emphasizing the principle of personal anonymity as it applies to our public relations. We ask of each other the highest degree of personal responsibility in this respect. As a movement, we have been before now tempted to exploit the names of our well-known public characters. We have rationalized that other societies, even the best, do the same. As individuals, we have sometimes believed that the public use of our names could demonstrate our personal courage in the face of stigma. So lending power and conviction to news stories and magazine articles. You know, what he's talking about here, Monty, is press, radio, film.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get some people today who will say internet, you know, or TV. You know, there's other things that have come after 1948 that they want added into the media sphere of anonymity. I really don't personally have a problem with it. But what I've seen this happen. So it shows that this is wise. There's always a comedian or a rock star or a movie star who is 5 minutes sober, right? Their life is blown up like the Hindenburg. You know, they've ended up in jail. Now they've gone to some swanky rehab, you know, outside of Hollywood or something. And they get out, and 5 minutes later, they start talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm going to AA. I've never seen one of them stay sober. Never seen one of them who did that in their first 5 minutes stay sober. Yet Hollywood, the rock industry, is littered with Alcoholics Anonymous members in good standing that the public is not going to know about. You might find out if you see them in a meeting, or you might understand the secret code of long-term recovery, you know, that the secret code. But they're following this principle of anonymity. And it's very wise because of the people who 5 minutes sober want to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous and relapse. You know, that what that'll do is that'll send the message that, you know, doesn't seem like AA works to me. You know, Harvey Gerbilfeather said he was going, and here he is with another DUI. You know, if I'm going to get sober, I want to go somewhere that works. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let me point out, there is, I don't know if this is currently accurate or not. I know back when we would take 12 Radio down to Long Beach, down in Southern California, there were meetings called musicians meetings. And these were people that they were AA meetings and NA meetings, where people that were in the limelight, they were celebrities. A lot of them were very popular musicians, but they weren't actually listed in the meeting list, right? They were known of, but they were very careful not even to print them, because they didn't want people, and if they did, they wouldn't print them as the musician meetings. You know what I mean? So people weren't showing up just to meet Peter Tork, you know, or whoever. And I saw some wisdom in that. And this one lady says, well, I don't go to meetings that aren't listed. And I thought, well, I don't know. I get it. I get why they're trying to protect that. I don't know if those meetings still go on down in Southern California or not. I have a hunch they probably do. But don't you think there's some wisdom in not announcing that?
You know, listen, I've heard stories from different people who, you know, I'm not going to use their name because we're on a show, but like one of the most popular rock musicians in the world. He tells a story of, you know, he lives in New York, and he tells a story that he goes to regular meetings every once in a while, and he can't go to the same one more than a couple of times.
Yeah,
because he's so popular and so many people are fans. What will happen if he starts going to 57th Street, you know, 8 o'clock Tuesday night meeting, there'll be 50 people there. But the next week there'll be 250 because they've all heard he's coming. You know, so he deserves to have an Alcoholics Anonymous experience,
yeah,
like the rest of us. So I'm not gonna criticize whatever he needs to do. You know what I mean? I'm just not gonna criticize it. There's lots of specific purpose meetings. Now, some people will say, just don't call it an AA group. Some people won't care. Some people will say each group is autonomous and they can do whatever the heck they want. You know, there are invitation only meetings. It's like, I think that's kind of what you were talking about. You have to be invited.
Yeah.
I hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will be there for anyone that needs to be there. And if these people really do need a special purpose meeting, then why would I begrudge them?
Amen.
Of that? We all deserve to be safe and sound and sober. So that's my personal, perspective on it.
Sure.
And there's going to be different perspectives. You know, I'll tell you another story that I heard. I know the guy that did this. There's a famous comedian, one of the most famous comedians, I'm not going to mention their name, but around since the late 60s, super famous, really well respected. He was trying to get sober, and he was in Las Vegas, and he called up some people that I know. And, he said, hey, I'm reaching out. I'm reaching out. I could really use a meeting. To talk to somebody. So a couple of these guys went over to his hotel room. He was doing shows there. Right. And sat down with him, and he goes, Tuesday at 5:30 would be a good time for you guys to bring me a meeting. And they said, well, we'll tell you when the meetings are. We'll make a meeting book available. We'll come and get you. We'll bring you to a meeting. There's one at 6 o'clock and there's one at 9 o'clock, on Tuesday. And he's like, no, 6:45 would really work for me. And they got up and they said, these are our meetings. You want to come? Great. See you later. He was dead in a couple of months.
Wow.
So was that a good thing to do? You can make a case that, hey, do your job, show up. You can make that case. You could also make the case that, that was not a very compassionate response to a request. And the guy didn't last very long. So, I don't know. There's all kinds of experience out there. What I would like, I'm going to say it again, is for when somebody reaches out the hand for AA, AA needs to be there. You define what needs to be there means. There's a lot of latitude in this thing because we really don't have any rules. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well said.
All right. It says here, but these are not the allures they once were. Vividly, we are becoming aware that no member ought to describe himself in full view of the general public as an AA. Even for the most worthy purpose, let a perilous precedent be set, which would tempt others to do likewise for purposes not so worthy. We see that on breaking anonymity by press, radio, or pictures, any one of us could easily transfer the valuable name of Alcoholics Anonymous over onto any enterprise or into the midst of any controversy. So it is becoming our code that there are things that no AA ever does, lest he divert AA from its sole purpose and ensure our public relations, and thereby the chance of those sick ones yet to come. To the million alcoholics who have not yet heard our AA story, we should ever say, greetings and welcome. Be assured that we shall never weaken the lifelines which we float out to you. In our public relations, we shall, God willing, keep the faith. And that's his writing on Tradition 11, 1948. Quite different than the way you'll find it in 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. Quite different than you find in the long form, but the principles are there. All right, I am going to read the long form of Tradition 12. And finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has an immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, that we are actually to practice a genuine humility. This to the end that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of him who presides over us all. And that's the long form of the tradition, Monty. Let's see what he has to say in November 1948 about Tradition 12. One may say that anonymity is the spiritual base, the sure key to all the rest of our traditions. It has come to stand for prudence and, most importantly, for self-effacement. True consideration for the newcomer if he desires to be nameless, vital protection against misuse of the name Alcoholics Anonymous at the public level, and to each of us, a constant reminder that principles come before personal interest. Such is the wide scope of this all-embracing principle. In it, we see the cornerstone of our security as a movement. At a deeper spiritual level, it points us to still greater self-renunciation. You know, this particular tradition, there's something that just recently happened to me in the last week, Monty. I'm part of an organization. I'm a board member of an organization who has built a community center. Now, you're familiar with clubhouses. We've talked a lot about clubhouses in some of the earlier shows that we've done, right?
Yeah.
But in New Jersey, we just don't have them. You know, maybe there'll be one clubhouse in each ginormous county, you know, if. But this particular organization built a giant community center and wants to welcome 12-step fellowships into this community center. And I put together a team of people from local recovery who came in, and, you know, they're talking back and forth. And what my expectations were that these people would say, wow, what a great space. How cool. You know, this is different. They're going to let us have midnight madness meetings here. You know, we can have 7 o'clock in the morning meditation meetings. They're going to be open to anything we want to do in this community center. How cool is this? That was the response I was expecting to get. You want to know what one of the responses I heard just this week was? Nobody's going to want to come because of anonymity. They feel safer in the basement of a church. That's the response I got.
Wow.
You know, I'm like, wow, I did not expect that. Now, listen, if they personally feel that strongly about their personal anonymity, I got nothing to say about that. That's completely up to them. But I believe the principles in these traditions aren't focused specifically on an individual's safety. A lot of times they're focused on the organization's safety, you know. So if I'm a humble member, I'm not gonna try to take the group over with a hostile group conscience and change it into something I want it to be. You know, I'm gonna be one member, one vote, you know, and be collaborative. You know, that's really the principle I see in this particular tradition. What's your experience, Mike?
I've sat in business meetings where you have these power drivers that are very well spoken and can almost flip you from a viewpoint 1 minute into something else the next, very, very easily. And I've watched it go back and forth and almost wear out the business meeting. The whole spirit of anonymity, I think that says it all right there. The spirit of anonymity. I think the humility thing comes in there. I think that we can become so humble that we're full of pride, if that makes any sense. I see more people pushing this agenda. We're afraid of the anonymity, our anonymity being broken. But when you look at the way their lives are reflecting what they say, it's not that way at all. I mean, the meetings, most meetings have a giant triangle above the door, or at the very least, everybody in the community by now knows that's an AA meeting. And everybody and their brother is standing outside before the meeting, at the smoke break, after the meeting, in view of everybody. And yeah, and they're wearing T-shirts from the last convention and, you know, out in public. But when it comes to something like this, they're screaming anonymity. So I'm not buying it, Chris.
You know, press, radio, and films.
Yeah.
And some people want to add internet and TV, you know, and that's all well and fine, I suppose. But I found that personally, you know, as long as I'm following the the principle and the perspective of this particular tradition, I can tell anybody I want I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's ways that you can even do that without saying you're in AA.
You can
say I'm a member. You know, I'm someone who's in long-term recovery. You know, that can mean a bunch of different things, but it's shorthand. And I've found that you know, when I've done that, not in press, radio, and films, right, with a full picture and a last name, you know, when I've done that, I've made myself a resource.
Yes.
To that individual, and the still sick and the still suffering alcoholic can reach out. I took a new job about 6 months ago, and right out of the gate, I told everybody in the company I'm in long-term recovery. And within 2 weeks, I was helping someone's daughter who, you know, is overdosing, you know, to get into a recovery program. And she's doing great now. Now, if I had not done that, that opportunity wouldn't have been offered to me to be helpful, you know? So I'm a lot less scared today. Now I'm older. I'm at the end of my career trajectory. You know what I mean? I care a lot less. Yeah. You know, if you're younger and, you know, you have some reservations about letting people in your company know you're an alcoholic, for God's sake, I can totally understand and respect that. But I've personally found that as long as I'm following these principles, you know, I actually make myself more available to be helpful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I totally agree. We can become so anonymous that we end up sabotaging the very work that God's called us to do.
So there's a marvelous piece of writing out there. I think it's even a pamphlet, and it's titled Anonymity is Not Secrecy.
Yeah.
And it basically breaks down the misconception that we've got to hide underground in dark church basements, you know, sneaking through an alley to get into the meeting. You know, it breaks down that myth. You know, anonymity does not mean secrecy. It's they're two different things. And as, you know, tradition 11 can be misused, tradition 12 can be misused to make us lazy. You know,
yeah.
To place ourselves in less of a position to be inconvenienced. You know what I'm saying?
There are even some.
It says here,
Chris, there are even some that would go so far as to say you're not supposed to even use your last name within the fellowship. I remember getting scolded years ago in a 12-step fellowship. I won't mention which one. Because I used my last name in the fellowship. And then I remember reading, it was in, I believe it's in Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. Dr. Bob makes the statement that there's no place for personal anonymity within the fellowship. I thought, well, that's interesting, isn't it? So then we come back to the difference between the program, the written literature, and somebody's opinion.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. You know, I'm going to visit somebody in the hospital. What room is Bob in? What's Bob's last name? Bummed Out Bob. what room is he? Bob, he just goes by Bummed Out Bob. Well, we don't have a Bummed Out Bob here. If you don't know the person's last name, you know what I'm saying? So press, radio, films, we can throw in TV and the internet if we so choose to. that's where the anonymity anonymity protects the fellowship. And again, yes, does anonymity protect us? We're scared to death, somebody's going to find out we're in AA. We didn't care, that they knew we would park on their lawn, five nights out of seven, but my God, they're going to find out we're in Alcoholics Anonymous. We can be paranoid like that. We want to be protective of the newcomer. But I think this is really about protecting the fellowship from us. Because, some of us can be pretty dangerous, if we're without adult supervision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it says, I'm going to keep reading. It says, a glance at the 12 traditions will instantly assure anyone that giving up is the essential idea of them all. In each tradition, the individual or the group is asked to give up something for our general welfare. Tradition one asks us to place the common good ahead of personal desire. Tradition two asks us to listen to God as he may speak in the group conscience. Tradition three requires that we exclude no alcoholic from AA membership. Tradition four implies that we abandon all idea of centralized human authority or government, but each group is enjoined to consult widely in matters affecting us all. Tradition five restricts the AA group to a single purpose, carrying our message to other alcoholics. Tradition six points at the corroding influence of money, property, and personal authority. It begs that we keep these influences at a minimum by separate incorporation and management of our special services. It also warns against the natural temptation to make alliances or give endorsements. Tradition seven states that we had best pay our own bills, that large contributions or those carrying obligations ought not to be received, that public solicitation using the name Alcoholics Anonymous is positively dangerous. Tradition eight forswears professionalizing our 12-step work, but it does guarantee our few paid service workers an unquestioned amateur status. Tradition nine asks that we give up all idea of expensive organization. Enough is needed to permit effective work by our special services and no more. This tradition breeds democracy. Our leadership is one of service and it is rotated. Our few titles never clothe their holders with arbitrary personal authority. They hold authorizations to serve, never to govern. Tradition 10 is an emphatic restraint of serious controversy. It implores each of us to take care against committing AA to the fires of reform, political, or religious dissension. Tradition 11 asks in our public relations that we be alert against sensationalism, and it declares that there is never need to praise ourselves. Personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film is urgently required, thus avoiding the pitfall of vanity and the temptation through broken anonymity to link AA to other causes. Tradition 12, in its mood of humble anonymity, plainly enough comprehends the preceding 11. The 12 points of tradition are little else than a specific application of the spirit of the 12 steps of recovery to our group life and to our relations with society in general. The recovery steps would make each individual AA whole and one with God. The 12 points of tradition would make us one with each other and whole with the world about us. Unity is our aim. I love how that ended.
Mm.
Don't you, Monty? The last couple of sentences are very powerful there.
Yes. Yes. Very good.
So it says, our AA traditions are, we trust, securely anchored in those wise precepts, clarity, gratitude, and humility. Nor have we forgotten prudence. May these virtues ever stand clear before us in our meditations. May Alcoholics Anonymous serve God in happy union for so long as he may need us. I love how Bill always ends, you know, by reaching out and you know, referencing the Father of Light.
Yeah, he does.
God as we understand it.
Yeah.
He's always very, very careful to do that, you know?
So at this point, I'm going to dredge this up. We've talked about it before, but it bears repeating, for especially if this is the first time somebody is tuned in to this workshop and they haven't listened to the previous articles. It's important for people to understand what I'm about to say. There are people right now, I guarantee you, and if they're not, people that will listen down the road, because these are archived, that will say, wait a minute, hold the horses, pump the brakes. Aren't you breaking the anonymity tradition right now at the level of, at least, at the very least, internet? But this is a form of media. And to them, I would say, if you go back and you listen, you may learn that actually nothing could be further from the truth. And let me say why. First of all, you are referred to as the co-host on this show as Chris S. Within the framework of Alcoholics Anonymous, you are free to claim membership publicly by not using your last name. We also aren't using your picture. And so that isn't there. So you are actually abiding by that tradition. I, on the other hand, right, my picture is all over the website. And yet I make it very clear. Now, if people can figure it out one way or the other, they may be right. They may not be right. I never say what particular 12-step program I'm a member of. I never say it. I may say I was at an AA meeting one day and I heard this phenomenal topic, but I don't claim membership. I may refer to something somebody, a topic or somebody said at an NA meeting, but I don't claim membership. I don't even claim membership in Celebrate Recovery, and I'll attend those meetings. You don't know, listeners, you know, via this programming at Take 12 Recovery Radio, what fellowship I'm a member of. And I do that specific, but then I have a double protection on that. I refer to myself as the Monty Man. Now, my last name is on the website where it needs to be for legal purposes, but during the shows, you don't hear me use my last name. And so I kind of put a double hedge of protection around that. So because I don't claim membership specifically, I too am honoring those traditions. Also, in the beginning of the show, in every show we do, we let people know that Take 12 Recovery Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship. We say that at the very beginning of the show. This is not AA. This is not NA, RCR, RCA. This is Take 12 Radio. And it's a separate entity altogether. So I hope that clears it up, because I know there are some naysayers. They're going to bring that up.
You know, I think it's rare. I think it's rare. But there are people who misunderstand the anonymity portion of the tradition. But I've done maybe 100 shows with you, Monty. I've never had one person complain to me that I'm breaking anonymity. If I was, believe me, people would let me know. You know, but I think there's more of an informed, there's more informed people out there than there were 20, 30 years ago, because of things like your show, because of workshops, because of tradition studies.
Yeah.
You know, we're more literate today than we were in the 90s or the thousands.
Sure.
As far as what all this stuff means. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I've seen, I especially see it in my area, is literature-based meetings are all over the place. half the meetings now are literature-based meetings. People want to be informed. People want to have an experience with this stuff. It's just, it's different than it was, you know, when you and I both got sober, everything yeah. was discussion meetings and speaker yeah. meetings. You know, that's all it was.
Yeah.
You know, today people really want to dig into the nuts and bolts of this thing. So you see a lot of people going to literature-based meetings, and you see a lot more informed members today. You know, that's yeah. one of the things that I've observed.
Yeah, and it's been rare. I mean, I got called out on the carpet on this thing early on when, you know, 18 years ago when we first started doing this. But as of late, I haven't heard a peep. But there's always that one or two person, you know. You know, there's some sacred writing that states you're never a prophet in your own home. And that certainly is true here in the Willamette Valley. I have few listeners here than I do in Australia or Dubai, for instance. We got listeners in Dubai. We got listeners in Canada. We got them all over the place. But in my backyard, few and far between. But that's just kind of the way it goes.
It's probably the way it should be.
I'll
show up. I told you I've got something in Washington State. I'm going to show up there. I'm going to have a host, and there's going to be a line of people that want to meet me. And it's like, Chris. I go to my home group, and it's like, oh my God, I hope he doesn't raise his hand again. You know?
I totally understand.
Humility. You know, humility. I have to take that in perspective.
That's right.
And I'm glad I can go to meetings and be just another meeting member.
Oh.
You know, going to a meeting. You know, and not without any special. You know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's the safest spot for me. To not be special is the safest spot for me.
I agree.
You know, to not be a prophet in your hometown, I think, is a good thing, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. There's a 12-step fellowship meeting that meets up in Salem, Oregon, that I will drop in on once in a while. And it is. It's like, well, who's that guy? I like being the who's that guy, you know. And it's filled with a bunch of old crotchety, big book thumping, dyed in the wool, dogmatic, you know, and I love it. I absolutely love it. These guys stand up to do the Serenity Prayer. They stand up to do the Lord's Prayer, you know, hats off. You take your hat off when you come in. I mean, it's pretty cool, man. And so that's a lot of fun. Well, Chris, this has been a great episode. Thank you so much, my friend.
Bobby, it's always a pleasure.
All right, everyone, our email address is take12radio. That's the number 12, take12radio@comcast.net. Please drop us an email. Let us know what you think. Thumbs up, thumbs down, everything in between. We welcome all your comments. Until our next broadcast. This is the Monty Man along with Chris S. and the rest of the Take 12 Recovery Radio family, and we are wishing God's perfect serenity for you. For more recovery workshops with Chris S. and the Monty Man, visit our website at take12radio.com and click on the Recovery Workshops banner.
This has been a broadcast of Take 12 Recovery Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
Okay. Kitty, 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 kitty. Meow, meow, meow.
Woof.